Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
From the First Midwest Bank Studio, Chicago's home for sports, is the new home of the White Sox. This is WMVP Chicago, ESPN 1000.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
The 5 o'clock hour and our coverage of a Bears Tuesday. It's all brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. Waddle, do you want to take a swing at what Nesby brought to the table?
Well,
have you seen any of that?
I did not see the incidents that he talked about, but I'll go back and I'll try to look at it. So I don't want to say that he was wrong because I didn't see it.
Right.
I've never come away from a game. I don't have a feeling that. I know that there's frustration for obvious reasons, but I've never gotten the feeling that Allen Robinson isn't given 100% because he's so frustrated. I haven't seen that from him. But I'll go back and look at the plays that Nesby was talking about.
Because he certainly is frustrated. I know his agent, we talked about it earlier, has been tweeting about the lack of red zone targets. The throws aren't always where they should be. Like we talked about that, the throw that was lofted a little bit more earlier. So we will look at that, and who knows, This could be a parting of the way. Like, the way you fix offenses isn't by getting rid of your better players.
No.
It's by adding more good players.
I don't know how they're going to really do that. Again, because of the financials, they don't have a lot of cap flexibility. The cap's going to go down. They've got a number of things to address. Like, he wants, in a perfect world where the cap is going up and there's no pandemic, he can ask for what Keenan Allen got, which was pre-pandemic, if I'm not mistaken, which was 4 years, $80 million. I don't believe there's any way the Bears are meeting that request, if that's what it is. I don't know what they're asking for, but
he'll get a good offer, though, if they don't franchise him. There are enough teams starved for good wide receivers who will happily take him.
I don't know if it'll be 4 years, $80 million like Keenan Allen because of the financials, but I don't know what it'll look like, but I don't think they want to lose him. When you have very few like blue chip talents inside your offensive huddle, the last thing I would want to do is lose him. So I think I personally believe the most likely path to keeping him initially is a franchise tag. But he may express to them he don't want to be here, and they may decide to part ways, and they may not do that. I don't know.
312-332-3776. If you're just getting into your car for the day, if you haven't been tuned in to the Waddle and Sylvie Show or ESPN 1000, and you can watch and listen in many different ways, the new way to watch the show is on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. We've had one of our big audiences in there today. Join the fun. You can watch Waddle inside the First Midwest Bank studio. I started the show today because right at 1 o'clock, the Theo Epstein press conference started. And if you're not aware of the news, at about, what was it, about 10:30, 11-ish, 11:30, word came out that Theo Epstein was resigning from the Cubs. That they figured the best way to part was that Theo walks away from his job. There are going to be huge decisions being made about this Cubs' future. Big decisions about core players.
I thought it was a mature parting of the ways from both perspectives, the teams and his. I thought it was the right thing. I mean, it feels like the right thing to do.
And the day that Theo walked into town, he said, the reason why I'm here and the reason why I'm not in Boston anymore, even though we finally broke the curse, is because I've always had this philosophy, like Bill Walsh has said. Bill Walsh, the longtime architect of the San Francisco 49ers, such a football innovator, said that he always felt the best, you do your best work 10 years on a job. And it's best for the team, it's best for you to then find a new challenge in a different way. And Theo cited that when he came to the Cubs. So it was always well known that as the years went by, that, hey, Theo wasn't going to be here forever. And remember, I was even a little paranoid after 5 years when they still didn't re-up him. Right. I kept saying, where's the contract extension? Finally signed the contract extension. The extension went for a full 10 years. 5 years the first time, 5 years the second time. He kept citing it today during the press conference as to why he resigning, saying he was always loosely thinking about 10 years, and it's going to be 9 now. And because they're in a transition, he thought now this got moved up. And I just kept thinking that it's amazing that here's Theo Epstein. And he accomplished things that no one has ever accomplished inside that Cubs organization. And he's leaving after 9. But yet the Bears president, with the Bears only going to 2 postseasons in the last decade, 5 postseasons in the last 2-plus decades, that the Bears president has stayed here in his role in the last 21 to 22 years of his job. Now, what does he do? Does he make an impact? Is he making football decisions? He is in on every interview for every general manager they have hired. He does control what they spent. He is George McCaskey, who's the owner of the team and running the team. He is his number one confidant. He is the president of the team for a reason. And when we look at Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles, and we look at the coach, and we look at the general manager and Ryan Pace, let's go to the tippy-tippy top of the organization.
Tippy-tippy top.
Tippy-tippy top. And the only way you get real change is by changing things in the business the way it has always been run. You don't want to continue to run the shop like a mom-pop shop. The Blackhawks changed when they stopped running it like a mom-pop shop. Old man Wirtz passed away. Rocky took over. He was innovative. He hired the right people to run it. John McDonough came in. He didn't know hockey. They still won 3 cups.
And John McDonough got fired.
Right. And he's out, too.
Right.
There's another guy, another president. 3 cups under his watch. He's gone. But the point is the Blackhawks, this long original 6 team, when they realized they could not run things the way they've been running things, things changed. They went from the worst-run organization to one of the best in all of sports. The Chicago Cubs, when Tom Ricketts bought the team and things were going the same way, it wasn't until Ricketts said, I got to go to Boston. I got to figure out what they're doing there that we're not doing here. Let's go after Theo. He's available. Let's model our ballpark like they did in Fenway. How'd that work out? They stopped the way they were doing business old school wise, and they changed it at the very, very top. Long-standing team, years and years and years, ended a 108-year drought. The Blackhawks ended a drought since 1961. This Bears team now is the longest drought in all of sports. George wants to win. I don't believe George knows how to win. George has ended a lot of these regimes early. Lovie got fired after he didn't go to the postseason with a 10-6 record. That's not someone who's patient. Phil Emery and Mark Trestman got the boot after 2 and 3 years. John Fox got the boot after 3 years. But they're not hiring the way they should be hiring because their president doesn't know what he's doing. George needs to go, and he needs to revamp the way they're doing business, and he needs to surround himself with smarter people, at least a different approach to all of this. And just like the Blackhawks and just like the Cubs, if they do it the right way, the Bears, too, will finally figure out how to run an offense, how to draft the right quarterback, and how to win once again.
Well, at the very least, you're going to try doing it a different way, or you should. Why would you continue to do things the same way if it has not, it's not bearing any fruit for you?
Well, you look in the mirror and you ask yourself, why have we never had a franchise quarterback? Why don't we ever have a top offense like Green Bay? They play in the same weather as us. Why don't we have sustained success like the Pittsburgh Steelers? They're a family-owned business like us. They're the Rooneys. We're the McCaskies. What are they doing that we're not doing?
Man, they got a great football guy in charge.
Of course. But it can be done with shrewd moves, with smart moves, if you're willing to ask the right questions and do things the right way. They can do it. If the Wirtzes can do it, if the Cubs can do it, two of the worst-run franchises for many, many years can do it. The Bears can do it, too. And George, until he recognizes this, that you change the way things are done unless you approach it from the top of the organization, then you're always going to continue to do things and be mired in mediocrity.
New set eyes, new vision.
332-3776. Bishop in Chicago Heights. You're on the ESPN 1000. What's up, Bishop?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
We're good.
Listen, football 101. You get a coach that can coach. Number two, you get a quarterback. I know the game is about running now, but he should be able to throw the ball. That's what a quarterback does. And number three, you get a running back who you allow him to run. I just think the I'm born and raised and would die a Chicago Bears fan, but this is an embarrassment. We got a coach, all he does is makes excuses. People talk about Allen Robinson. Well, they're not giving him, Allen Robinson's a heck of a good ball, football player. It's just he wants the ball. He wants to do things, but we don't have a good quarterback to do it. We've been wasting money on projects and with a coach that's trying to play AFC style in a black and blue division. It's not going to work. We just need to go back. I know there's some things that we should upgrade, but go back and play hard-nosed Bears football where you got a good defense, a good running back, and what was the quarterback? Steve Fuller wasn't all that good, but look what he did in 85 Bears.
Bishop, you're acting like Wilbon, where you just want to pigeonhole yourself into this play defense, run the football. There's no reason why the Bears can't be like the Steelers or like the Packers with gunslinging quarterbacks winning Super Bowls while still having a good identity of playing physical football.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, put it like this, but you got to have a quarterback or you got to have plays that allow the quarterback to throw the ball more than 15 yards. Our plays suck. We got a new play caller, but he's still calling the same stupid plays. Change the plays.
Thanks, Bishop.
Yeah, I look, there's a lot wrong. Again, how big is your appetite for change?
Big.
I'm
hungry.
I resist the same thing, and I said it to Mike Wilbon, as you mentioned. It's look, I don't think you need to just settle for, well, this is Chicago. We play defense and run the ball. No, you don't. You don't. You don't have to settle for. You shouldn't settle for that.
I'd say that to George. That if George was on the air with us right now, I've seen George in his Cubs starter jacket at Wrigley. I've seen George in a Blackhawks sweater at a Hawks game. I'd say, George, you're a fan at heart. Look at what your Hawks and Cubs did. You have to do this. You have to have the appetite for the big change that Waddle's talking about. 332-3776. If you want to talk Bears football with us, if you want to thank Theo, 312-332-3776. We'll play some Theo Epstein coming up at 5:30.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, the Bears score 6 points offensively. They had the Cordarrelle Patterson return. I thought, boy, they had all the momentum in the world then. And they every
momentum
time
momentum is no better than your next offensive possession. What was that saying? Momentum is next day starting pitcher.
Right. But you're right about that with the Bears. You are absolutely right.
What is the saying in baseball? Momentum is
the next day starting pitcher.
Yeah, momentum for us is the next offensive possession.
Yeah. I mean, Nick Foles throws an interception on his second pass of the game. Like you said, it went off Miller's hands, but it was thrown behind him. It was on him, and it's right after the Bears defense comes out, and I said punt earlier. They forced the Vikings to fumble. Remember that?
Right. It was their big tight end Rudolph.
Yes, Kyle Rudolph.
By the way, I think the Vikings turned the ball over in Bears territory twice. The interception was Thielen. I don't know what the hell Thielen was doing. He's usually very sure-handed. Had the two touchdowns. Basically, took the ball and threw it to Khalil Mack.
Right. Mack was right there at the perfect time, was able to keep it in his belly.
Yeah, and then I had a couple of people on Twitter coming at me. Oh, really? You'd never drop Mack in coverage. Let me restate what I said yesterday. This is not Alcon bias for me. And I'm no Chuck Pagano. I'm no Vic Fangio. I'm no defensive quarter. He's not dropping in coverage for me.
Yeah, I know.
Just because the ball bounced out of a shorthanded wide receiver's hands and into his arms doesn't mean that it was a great decision.
But we'll take it. We'll take every break we can get. So they got a Cordarrelle Patterson break with the return for a touchdown. They get a fumble on the first possession of the game to get off the field. They have the Khalil Mack interception. They have a late punt return from Anthony Miller after their returner got hurt.
By the way, the Vikings special teams are dreadful,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Just dreadful.
And Santos kicked well. Like, there were so many things that did break for the Bears the right way, but the offense is so bad and so pathetic that they're just not able to capitalize on any of it.
It's such a great point, because when we had Viking Scott call us a little bit earlier, he basically almost referenced, like, this one was in the bag. The Bears had the football, as you mentioned, in Viking territory late in that game, and they just couldn't. They shot themselves in the foot, as they normally do. But, like, that game was there to be won by this Bears team. As bad as they played offensively, they still had a chance to win in Viking territory late in that game.
I also saw this. We didn't bring this up with Dan Weeder, too. I know. Makes you want to scream. I'm glad to hear some of that. That, do you know, you do know, because you've been documenting it on how bad their offense has been since late 2018. Weeder tweeted out that was the 20th time since 2018 that the Bears offense had gone without a first half touchdown. And again, that's like I said earlier, that's crazy. And that, like I said earlier, they're the only team that gets worse than in the third quarter. They're so fundamentally bad in the first half, but yet they find a way to outdo themselves consistently in the third quarter.
Let me put this into perspective again. He said it's the first. I saw that. I think I retweeted it, but I forgot it. It's the 20th time, right?
Yes.
Since 2018.
Yes.
That's 18 games. That's 18 games. That's 10 games. That's 46 games. Almost half of the games they've played in the last 2.5 years, they have failed to score an offensive touchdown.
Do you know what teams do? They roll out of bed with a first half touchdown.
Or if they don't, they get divorced. Right?
Yeah. Jake and Wheaton.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Sylvia.
No
worries. Was it this week or was it last week? I think it was this week that it was the Packers' first time this year that they didn't score on their opening drive.
They were 7 for 7 or 8 for 8 on their first drive, scoring a touchdown.
20 times in 46 games, they have failed to score an offensive touchdown? That can't be true. I mean,
yes, like, it is true.
I'm not doubting Dan. I'm just
telling
you. My brain finds that hard to process.
Even you, who has documented how bad they've been in 34 games straight, like, this is a team that continues to work hard, and they get worse. They change coaches. They get worse. They change callers. They get worse. They change quarterbacks, and they get worse.
Do you guys know what the conversation was on this show during this segment last week? What we were talking about?
On this show a week ago.
On this show at this moment last week.
On Monday or Tuesday?
On Tuesday at this time last week.
Playoff team, bro.
No. Divorcing your favorite sports team.
Oh, yeah, that's a great point, Black.
Yes, that's right.
I can't do it.
We're in the same spot.
I'm not divorcing them. No, yeah, I
know, but it's the same stupid conversations about this stupid
thing. Well, it's a cycle.
You know,
it's a cycle.
It's the same stupid conversation because it's the same story.
No, here's the thing. It's a cycle. It's the, man, that team looked awful. This team is horrible. Let's divorce them. This is great. And then you're like, then by Wednesday, you're like, I mean, you know what? They could beat the Vikings. They've got the Vikings number.
Sylvie was trying to talk me into them beating the Packers in a week.
If they won, because teams are flawed.
I know. It's a fair statement by you, but think about it.
The cycle of abuse is what this is.
The laser show did not show up. I was told there was going to be a laser show. I'm here for a laser show. I got kids who would love a laser show. I didn't get a laser show.
What did the kids do last night for the game? Were they asleep? You wouldn't subject them to that, would you?
No. They don't stay up past halftime. Yeah, and Mason wrote a book. I should text it to you about what it takes to score a touchdown. It's actually pretty
book?
Funny.
Well, don't send it to me. Send it to Hallis Hall.
I know. It's better than their
Denny's
venue.
They're not allowed to
venue.
Watch rated R movies, so.
Jake and Wheaton, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jake?
Hey, guys. All right. So, first of all, Sylvie, your take on Phillips earlier got me so fired up, and I have never been as angry at the Bears as I was after your take. So I appreciate that because misery loves company.
Thanks, Jake.
I'll say right now, man. I'm 29 years old. All right, so I've lived through some truly awful Bears, obviously. But the only successful Bears teams I've known are the ones that Waddle rightfully is saying we don't deserve. We need better offense, right? But it's the teams that have really, really good defense and an offense that just gets you by. So this is an indictment on Ryan Pace. First and foremost, okay? I, in 2 years, have never seen Buster Skrine make a play to save his life. He is only ever on the receiving end of a touchdown reception. It just happened this last game. I think it might have happened twice, actually. And it's happened multiple times this season. And the fact that Bryce Callahan had a coming out season, was not picked back up, and then Buster Skrine was his replacement, just infuriates me because, like I said, the only successful Bears teams I've ever seen have had good defense. And now the biggest gaping hole, the one weakness that we have, the biggest weakness, rather, on defense that we have, literally can't be plugged because he's our only option. That's all. I needed to vent because I'm so sick of seeing that dude on the field. And I think, I don't know if he's under contract beyond this season, but, oh, my God, it's infuriating.
And I think Bryce Callahan this year, too, is in, like, the top five as far as the way they've been great in coverage.
Is he with Denver?
Yes. Remember, he was hurt. That,
no, I know.
Wasn't he missed, out for the whole year?
I believe so.
So they had to make a move. But I've gotten a lot of Buster Skrine hate on my Twitter feed.
I wasn't expecting Buster Skrine to be the object of somebody's anger today.
Yeah. There's a lot of it, but I'm not really here for that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I've got my eyes focused on, I'm just focused on the task at hand here.
Yeah. The nickel corner is
not going to get me bothered today. Yeah. I'm going after the team president and the way they're doing business. I'm not going after the nickel corner. Frank in Naperville, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Frank.
Hey, fellas. Good afternoon. I've enjoyed listening to you all day, and I think
Thank
you're spot
you.
On.
I appreciate you know, it, Frank.
Just before I get to my comments, I just want to preface, you know, what I'm going to say with the fact that I've been watching this poop show now for 30-plus years, right? I'm 54 years old, and I go way back to this same story over and over again. And Sylvie, you're spot on. I mean, the fish, it's an old saying, a fish rots from the head down. And this the fact that we keep seeing the same stuff over and over speaks to the fact that, you know, significant change has not been made at the top of the organization to really, you know, set things up properly for the future. So I think you're spot on with that. And I think it's, unfortunately, as much as we all want it to change, we just don't see it happening. But here's my positive comments. I told Mr. Abdallah when I called. There are some positives from last night, though. One actually big positive, and it's occurred the last two Sundays, or it occurred last Sunday and will occur again this Sunday. It's that we don't have to watch the Bears on Sunday. The positive is we can actually sit down and enjoy the red zone. We can watch real football teams. My wife looked at me this past Sunday and said, I cannot believe how happy you are watching football on a Sunday.
Yeah, and Frank, it's the next two Sunday afternoons, too, because you've got the bye week on Sunday, and then the Packer game is Sunday night, so you've got your whole afternoon on Sunday in 2 weeks to do whatever the hell you want.
I mean, the simple enjoyment of watching good coaching and play calling and talented athletes do great things brings me back to why I started watching football in the first place. And then I think about I have to watch the Bears on a Sunday, and I'm miserable for three straight days. So, again, that's the positive takeaway I wanted to leave you guys with here for the evening. So, thanks for taking my
call.
And enjoy listening to you guys.
Frank,
thank
you, Frank. Great call.
I'm still it's not hate watching for me. I'm still watching.
Yeah. But no, I get what he's saying. I do like watching the league. I like watching Kyler Murray run around. I like Justin Herbert throwing touchdowns. I like seeing what Tua's going to do. I want to see how Burrow's progressing in Cincinnati. You know, I want to see the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, you can see that even when the Bears game's on.
Yeah, but you can't fully pay attention to it.
Oh, you're going to be outside dodging bricks from one of your kids throwing them at you on Sunday.
What is Greg Braggs my one of my sons? What,
you tell me. Does one of your kids throw things at you when he gets a chance?
Not bricks yet, thankfully.
Okay, whatever. Whatever he can get his hands
food,
on.
Food, though, yes, and that's coming up there in a half hour. Because you know, as soon as the show ends, they're going to be at the peak yelling right when I walk up.
That's my point.
332-3776. Theo Epstein has a message for all Cubs fans. We'll play that for you coming up and all of your Bears phone calls.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Phone number to reach us if you want to sound off on not only the Bears, but maybe Theo Epstein resigning. And don't forget, Cap is going to have Theo Epstein tomorrow on Cap and Jay Hood, 9 a.m. Set an alert. Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show, 7 to 10 every single day. You'll hear from Theo Epstein tomorrow. Going to be long and detailed. And he was on a Zoom call today. They had a press conference at about 1. I don't know about you guys. I could not hear Tom Ricketts. I was watching it on the Cubs site, and he was never on camera. He was talking, too.
Guys, Tom Ricketts seemed to be off mic.
I think if you had access to the Zoom based on where you were watching it, you could see and hear Tom Ricketts.
Yeah, but I just heard him off in the distance somewhere.
So depending on where you were consuming a Theo Epstein phrasing, you could see and hear Tom Ricketts tell you that they have no money.
Yeah, they have no money. Jed's going to be the new president, and here's Theo. Want to play the stuff that he said today about Cubs fans and what Chicago's meant to him.
To our fans, thank you for the support, the deep connection. Everything you bring to the table that makes the Cubs experience so special and so resonant. It really is different here, and that's thanks to you guys. Been thinking, you know, obviously, through a lot of memories over the last couple of days, and with respect to the fans, the one I keep coming back to is, you know, right as we started to turn the corner in the rebuild, I was walking home from a game. I always walk home from the games, and walking away from Wrigley with this crowd of fans, we just had a really great game, and I could eavesdrop on the conversations and overhear what they were saying, and the fans were just so excited about our young players, so optimistic about the future, couldn't wait for what lay ahead. And it was such a special time, such an expectant time, and it felt like the lines between fans and front office members and players were blurred because we were all part of this club that was in on a secret. I think we all kind of knew what was about to happen, maybe before the rest of the baseball world did. And then fast forward to seeing you guys celebrate the World Series championship at the parade with generations of your family, seeing the pennants and the hats draped over gravestones for those who didn't quite live to see it. Just incredibly moving and memorable, and underscores to me how special you guys are and how much you mean to this Cubs experience. So thank you for everything that you bring to this franchise and have meant to me over the years. Most importantly, to my family, my wife Marie, and my boys Jack and Drew, thank you for the love, support, the guidance, and the inspiration over the years, and also for the understanding and the sacrifices that you guys make to allow me to work the hours and live the lifestyle that's necessary to succeed in this job. We still look forward to going to games at Wrigley all together as a family, and we'll be fans now. And as I've said to a few people over the last couple of days, you know, when we do sit in the seats at Wrigley and look out and watch the Cubs play and sit amongst the fans here in Chicago, it will feel like home. And that's because of how special and meaningful the last 9 years have been. So thanks for everything.
And he said that Chicago is going to be their home. Now,
till he becomes the controlling interest owner in a baseball franchise.
Right, right. He still says he is a third chapter. When that happens, we will see. He mentioned this is a good topic for another day, too. Righting the wrong of all the way the game is played now, on how he was on the forefront of all of the three outcome. He says, he admits, the game isn't fun to watch, and he wants to be a part of the solution of that. And I thought it was a really good hour of him just sort of reflecting. And, I've mentioned a few times today, Waddle, about the 10-year rule, the Bill Walsh rule. When he was asked, too, about some of the things that he wished his biggest regrets, and he cited the Bill Walsh rule, and he said he's very self-aware. And he said if he looks at the reason why he's such a believer in the Bill Walsh rule, if he looks at his run in Boston and he looks at his run in Chicago, he recognizes that he's a really good builder. Like, he's really good at the rise. He's really good at the success. But his staying on top, that's at year 6 or 7, maybe that's not where he's as good.
I think in a lot of instances, it's the hardest thing to do. Getting to the top isn't easy, but staying at the top is, you know, some would argue, and maybe this is the point, that it's even more difficult.
Right. And even though these last few years, for me as a Cubs fan, I posted, and you know how I feel if you listen to the show, I feel like Theo Epstein is in a club by himself, and I feel like he's the best front office guy there is in sports. Did they want to win multiple championships? Yes. I grew up at a time when an 87-win season would be considered a successful season way back in the day. Right now, if you win 87 games, that's a failure. And I watched this year where a failure is winning a division. They won a division this year. They got swept from the Marlins. I was pissed. That's the way it should be. You should have expectations that you should go out and win the division every year.
You got in a fight with a local accomplished writer.
With Gordon Whitmire.
Yeah, you wanted to fight.
Theo raised the bar. And like we always said, they raised the bar, not us. We just want to hold them to those expectations now. And that's what he did for all Cubs fans. Winning 87 games in an isolated season once every 7 years is not good enough anymore for Cubs fans. Being good every year, and if you don't get to the World Series, then it's unsuccessful. That's what Theo created here.
I also think, honestly, his departure, if you can read the tea leaves, if you tried to do that, I think that signifies significant change. Because if they were going to re-sign, you know, their top guys and kind of just mosey along in the same manner, I think he, you know, there's a better chance he would have stayed for a year or two. I think the fact that he's not going to be part of the organization, to me, signifies that there is going to be real change with their roster.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Cap has been citing that a lot of these guys, like a Schwarber, who knows who else, could be non-tender.
Well, what about Chris Bryant?
Well, Chris Bryant, if they non-tender Chris Bryant, I'll be angry. Because you can't just let your best player, an former MVP, just go and not get anything for him. When you fought so hard to suppress him to get this last year. Do you know what I mean? So,
but that could sit. You know what they could do, though? They could sit here and they could tell you that, look, we right now the budget is obviously strained, and we don't have.
You can't get zero for him.
I'm just saying they could tell you we don't have the budget to pay Chris Bryant $20 million in arbitration.
But they do, though. Like you said about all this stuff, they've got the money.
Of course they do. I'm just telling you from their perspective. I'm just like nothing would shock me with the Cubs going forward. Right now.
Yep. So listen to the interview with Theo tomorrow with Cap and Jonathan Hood, 9 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. Want to take Kevin in Mount Prospect. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Kev.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So full disclosure, I am a Dolphins fan living here in Illinois.
You're riding high right now.
Yeah, I mean, been a Dolphins fan my whole life, so it's finally best start since 2001. So everyone that has given me a hard time since then, you know, I'm able to stick it to them a little bit. But I think that the Bears are in a similar situation that the Dolphins have been in for the better part of the last decade. And I mean, you just need to take a good hard look in the mirror and call a spade a spade. The Bears are not a good football team, and they need to just tear it down like the Dolphins did, like the 49ers did. And, you know, if that means that you got to trade pieces away from your defense to stockpile draft picks like Miami did, then so be it. You're going to suck for, you know, 2-3 years, and then hopefully you see the other side of it.
Right, you're absolutely
right.
You're right,
Kevin. I mean, it's a very distinct possibility.
Like this, like Khalil Mack, I'll never go against the Khalil Mack deal. I think he's a stud. But now, if you're going to change stuff, he becomes a luxury. And like, you can't afford luxuries when you don't have the basics. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't have a steering wheel. You don't have a bumper. Like, you can't have these great luxuries when you don't have blocking on the offensive line or a quarterback or any of this stuff.
Again, I don't know exactly what the salary cap implications will be with regard to COVID and all that has happened, but it's going to be funky and it's going to go down. And I just don't know how teams are going to respond to it. I really don't. But I do believe, again, as I said a while ago, I think there are going to be some opportunities for some really good front office people that have vision and act quick and can think on their feet. There are going to be some accomplished veterans that are going to be available that could help you in a lot of different areas. Guys that are going to be released because of the financial constraints and guys that maybe be willing to play on a 1-year deal that could help you get up and going again. I mean, I'm just telling you, I think the landscape is going to be very interesting in 2021.
We still have time for your phone calls. Then Black and Abdallah will take them as well. 332-3776. Is it time for the Bears to no longer play in their orange jerseys? And I saw a jersey on a Tom Waddle back in the day that I want to ask you about. That's coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Well, I want change with the Bears at the top. Ted Phillips can stay. He could decide important things like whether or not the Bears should ditch the orange uniforms. You a fan of the orange pumpkin look
on
the Bears?
They don't bother me. I you know what? I told you the story at Bears, the fan convention 1 year. My kids were little at the time. And what was it? There was a
Cade McNown clearance, wasn't it?
Yeah,
so at Bears Fest?
I bought the Cade McNown jersey, like three of them for my kids. They were like $10 a piece. And he was number 6, right?
8, I think.
Was he number 8? I thought he was. Yeah, and then I told everyone I think that they were Maury Buford jerseys. But yeah, I mean.
Butthead was 6, so
yeah,
was
Butthead
Cutler.
Was 6.
Buford and McNown were 8.
Okay, there you go.
Was it Rex 8 too?
I don't know, because Rex and McCown were at the same time.
No,
Rex was 8.
Rex
was
8?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
See, like,
remember when I had the orange 8 and I was shamed walking down Canal Street in the loop, I mean, in my own damn town for wearing a Rex Grossman jersey after the Cowboys game?
I could see if you were wearing a McNown jersey, but not McCown jersey. McCown. McNown. Cade McNown. Cade McNown. Yeah, I could see that, but not
like
Rex.
Abdallah trying to read a spot.
Yeah, well, it happens, man.
That was amazing, by the way.
Amazing. Bodega. You got to do a montage from today. He's not had a good day at the bat rack.
It happens, man. Stuff happens.
One day. You get 4 more at bats tomorrow, Abdallah. Yeah. Ask the Cubs about that.
I gotta look and see how many reads I have.
By the way, before I take a couple more calls, I tweeted a picture when Boston College was getting whipped by Notre Dame. Of you in the your Boston College jersey, and you played in the '80s when the half
Yeah,
the half jersey.
Everybody wore the half jersey.
Everybody, what was the what
a lot
was?
Of people did.
And I look, when I was 13, I had a half jersey too. Like I didn't play football; I was too small. But it was like the fashion. You wore the football half jersey.
Yeah.
What
I got those at home. I could bring those in. You could actually wear one.
What were the football people going for there?
Where, don't know.
Where they're like, you know what we want? We want a bunch of hairy guys to be showing off their midsection while they tackle each other.
Yeah, I can't. I don't know what the theory was, but I liked those jerseys in the summertime. I don't think we wore them in the wintertime, if I'm not mistaken. But, like, listen, you still had to wear a shirt underneath it. The last thing you wanted to do was have some big defensive guy, you know, tackle you and slide you across the turf on your bare-chested, you know, belly.
I still remember like a hairy Chris Zorich at Notre Dame.
Yeah, they wore the half jersey.
Yeah, the half jersey. You know, Flutie, very hairy guy.
A little hairy.
You know,
guy.
You'd see. Yeah, like what? What's the point of that?
I really don't know. I don't know.
It's just thought of
that. Yeah, no. I mean, it's an odd thought, but I think it's. I get where you're coming from.
Alfonso in Orland, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Alfonso?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I love your show. First and foremost, deciding what the Bears should ditch. I think they got a lot more things to worry about, or they have a lot more things to ditch than their jerseys, but that's just me saying that. But anywho, the Cubs, what's really going on with the Cubs? So it doesn't take a genius to realize something's going on. These guys, first and foremost, this was the most unenjoyable season to watch. I don't think I've ever seen a division team or a team that won a division that was less enjoyable to watch. These guys weren't having fun. I think when Joe Maddon decided to leave, and he basically felt that last season it was a divorce or a divorce was imminent. Now you have Theo basically saying that he can't even wait out the last year. Something's going on. This is not the team that was having so much fun 4 or 5 years ago. And it's not just about winning. I get it. When you're losing, it's not fun. But have you heard anything, or why does this feel like this is a dysfunctional organization and something else is going on?
You know, it's something that maybe tomorrow they'll uncover more with Cap. I don't know if it's that. Remember, Theo at one time left in a gorilla outfit when he was the general manager of the Red Sox. And he left and took a sabbatical with the Red Sox. And then he came back. And then he left for good with the Cubs while he was still under contract, too.
And I don't think he's coming back to the Cubs.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you that it may not be dysfunction. It's just time. Like, the Red Sox still, under John Henry, won World Series after he left. Jed's still here. If something was really going on, don't you think everyone would be gone?
Yeah, but you know, look, I'm not going to be surprised if there's significant change. I think if things were going to remain status quo for the most part, maybe you would have had him fulfill his final year of his contract. But I've always said...
Oh, yeah, it will be a different team, sure.
I think there's a chance it could be significantly different.
Right, Alfonso, if you think this last season was unenjoyable, next year could be worse.
Yeah. Like, they're going to have to make some decisions on some people. Important components.
Yes, and how they get to the next winning stage.
I mean, are you going to keep Yu Darvish? I mean, if you're going
to... You should. He's still a pretty good deal.
But if you're going to pivot and try to rebuild, are you going to do it without him? Because he could bring you something in a trade.
It's good. It's a good point. We could get into that a little bit more tomorrow. Or we could still talk about bad offense for the Bears.
No, I'm done with that.
Okay, all right. And tomorrow's draft day, don't forget.
Yeah.
There are reports out there that the Bulls were... We're checking in with Boston over Kemba.
Maybe that's the Bears' problem. They're calling basketball teams about trades.
Ted Phillips is on the line for Kemba Walker. Ted, you play football.
Hey, what's on the show tonight, Adam?
Hamina.
Oh, yeah, like you've never been in broadcast hell before. I've heard some of your teases before. We're going to take all your Bears calls for the next. Plus, we are, like you mentioned, we're 24 hours away from the draft. The draft starts in 24 hours. We'll talk about Theo Epstein and his time with the Cubs. Nine tremendous years. Nothing but ups. Nothing but ups for that Theo Epstein. And
wow, that sounded sarcastic to me.
Nothing but ups for Theo Epstein. And, of course, we'll take all your Bears calls, like I said, 312-332-3776.
Our only guest today, Dan Weeder. Thank you to all the callers. Great calls today, bringing it strong. We'll continue to take your calls tomorrow at 332-3776. Crosstalk brought to you by IDOT. Visit lifeordeathillinois.com. And don't forget Theo Epstein on with Cap and Jay Hood tomorrow. Their show begins at 7. The Theo interview will happen at 9 o'clock. Thanks to Bleck and Abdallah. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.
It's the classic!
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.